Hey, y'all, I'm going to take a second to give a quick shout out to the official mortgage lender of the Hunt Lift Deep podcast. That's Casey Burns of Prime Lending Mortgage. I've known Casey for 10 years, and he's the only lender I use. I've used Casey to purchase two houses, and the process has been seamless and easy each time. He's the heart of an educator, and he truly cares about what's best for his clients. He specializes in VA loans, but can handle FHA, conventional, and investment loans as well. He's a true expert and specialist in his field, and there's no one I recommend more than Casey. You can contact Casey at casey.burns@primelending.com. Reach him by phone at 919-710-1864. You can also check out all his reviews at www.closewithcasey.com. Thanks, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hunt Lift Deep podcast. I'm Carter McKenzie, running host tonight with a couple familiar faces, new voices, a smattering of crew all over the United States, actually. We got Gabe Robinson coming at us from Montana. What's up, man?
Not much. Just happy to be on the podcast with y'all.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate it. We got Max Bailing coming at us from the great state of Wisconsin. What's up, Max?
What's up? Coming from north of the old Cheddar Curtain. Thanks for having me.
The Cheddar Curtain, man. I've never heard that phrase before, but I kind of love that.
Midwest thing.
That's my new favorite phrase in the world. I love that. And then we got my guy, my East Coast brother. We got Frank Melito coming at us from Long Island.
Yes, sir. Long Island, New York.
My man. That's what I'm talking about. Thanks for taking the time, Frank.
Thanks for having me again. I know it's been hard to link up, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, you and Max, you work all these weird hours with your careers, and I'm usually asleep when y'all are working. So
yeah. Makes I got to pay for gas down here, you know?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Gabe doesn't sleep ever, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I sleep on the job site, so I'm pretty much camping 24/7.
Sweet. But we made it work, guys. Better late than never. So here we are in June, and tonight we're talking turkeys. This is the final episode, the final iteration of the 2022 Hunt Lifty team member turkey extravaganza. I didn't really think out the title of this very well, but this is it, man. You guys get to put a pin in this until the next year, and I've wanted to hear all about y'all's success stories from the turkey woods and get you on this podcast so other folks could hear them. So thanks for taking the time. Who wants to kick us off here? Gabe?
Sure.
Gabe, let's start.
Let's start with mine. So this is my second season ever turkey hunting. I got to preface this a little because it's just kind of interesting how everything folded out. So my first season ever, I met these two guys at a party in Washington while I was driving to Montana. I spent the night at a friend's house. Went to a party and I DD'd. And I was wearing a Sitka hat and they just asked me like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow morning? I was like, I don't know what time. They're like, 4 a.m. I was like, nothing, probably sleeping. They're like, let's go turkey hunting. Never met these guys in my life. I was like, sweet, sounds good. So they go out. Turns out they have a turkey guide business. So I bought my tags because I was still a Washington resident at that time. And in Washington, you can have two tags and you can actually kill two in a day. So as far as my knowledge goes. So we went out and we did maybe 30 minutes of hunting and I shot two really big toms, which is crazy. Like, awesome. I reapered both of them, which was super fun to do. Shot them both with the shotgun. And then come this season, I was like, okay, that was super easy. So I really figured turkey hunting was not that bad. I was like, okay, I'm going to hunt for 1 week and then I'm going to go bear hunting because I really wanted to do a lot of spring bear this year. Well, turns out turkey hunting is very challenging and I became pretty much obsessed with trying to outsmart these little rugby balls of birds in the woods because they're freaking annoying and I wanted to kill one. And so I was going out with my bow, which was fun. It was my first season with my bow ever.
So for context, you met two dudes who happened to own and operate a turkey hunting guide business at a party.
Yeah.
That's wild. First of
just all. Just because they only talked to me because I was wearing a Sitka hat on and they,
there you go.
They're like, you hunt? And I was like, little, like at this time I was just duck hunting and I wasn't a resident in Montana yet and I was not going to pay OTC prices for non-resident Montana. It was my first semester of college. And so I just did a lot of scouting and I watched a couple buddies who dropped $500 on a deer tag to be unsuccessful, and I did not want to do that.
Yeah, that's really fortuitous of you to meet a couple guides at a party, man. That's awesome. I'm jealous.
I've had quite a few experiences like that. I've been super lucky with just the networking opportunities that I've had, especially being in Bozeman. I mean, yeah, there's so many, there's such a high density of hunting communities, and like Onyx is here, Meat Eaters here, Stone Glacier's here, Sitka's here. There's so many, there's a high density of hunting gear operations and hunting people. So you can always meet somebody somewhere. But back to this season, went out with my buddy Isaac and my girlfriend Jordan. We were just going out with our bows, driving around the general region. And then we were unsuccessful there, heard some. And then we went over to Eastern Montana, where we hunted in one area that was like a bunch of national forest, and saw one hen. And that was about it. We came to this one spot that was this huge bluff overlooking a river, with just fields and fields of public and bordering private. And while we were setting up camp, this guy in a car pulled up and like was like, "Hey, you guys turkey hunting?" We're like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I have a lot of my property. Like, you guys can come shoot one sometime." So we went out there and we heard a bunch of turkeys, but didn't see any. And then I started hunting with my buddy Hunter Sulak, and he's the one who actually got me on my bird this year. So shout out to him. And he hunts a lot of private around here. And so we did a lot of sits with him on some private that were unsuccessful. Lots of 5-hour sits in the woods, very long. And so we did that. I did a couple more sits on my own, but when I did get my turkey this year, it was really funny because, at least in my eyes, it's funny because I did all this time in the woods and I ended up shooting a turkey out of some lady's backyard. We were like, "Okay, this is like the last weekend we can hunt. Grab your bows. We're going to go drive down this road, see if there's turkeys there." Okay. We drive down, probably 40 turkeys in this lady's yard. So he knows her. So we pull up and pull into the driveway, knock on the door, start talking to her. And she walks us down. She told us not to wear camo because the turkeys know that who the hunters are. And if you wear camo, you'll scare them away. And she said, "I couldn't shoot any jakes because she didn't want any of the babies to die." And so we're talking and there's probably 13 jakes and toms just mingling around 40, 50 yards from us, just walking around, kind of pucking with a bunch of hens. And I'm just sitting there, like, I'm just itching. I'm like, I want to shoot one. And we're just talking. And she's super chatty. And I'm trying not to be rude, especially because this is my buddy's access and I don't want to mess that up for him. And then she goes, "Okay, go ahead." And so I go grab my bow from the truck. Thankfully, my girlfriend, who's amazing, she let me shoot this one. It was going to be hers, but she'd already gotten a turkey with a bow a couple seasons ago in Idaho. And so I was like, "I want my first bow kill." And she was gracious enough to let me kind of take her bird. And there was one tom strutting in the back field of her house. And so I walk 30 yards from the truck onto this brush line, range it. He's at 40 yards between two trees, kind of strutting back and forth, draw my bow back. And when I released, I saw the turkey just stop moving and wiggle a little bit and then stop. And then Jordan, my girlfriend, goes, "Did you miss?" Because the sound it made, she thought I hit the barn behind the turkey. Well, we go up and the turkey was pinned to the ground with my arrow and its wing bone was just in shambles. That was a textbook shot with my bow. And so I was super, super stoked on that. Super stoked that I didn't have to go chase a bird anywhere. And it was a really nice Miriam's. So I was super, super happy with that. But I just think it's kind of funny that I spent so many hours in the woods hoping to get like a nice turkey in the trees, and I ended up shooting one out of some lady's backyard, which is pretty much the same thing I did my first season as well.
Well, there's a couple different lessons there that listeners can glean from that story there. One, opportunity is wherever opportunity is, right? I mean, yeah. I'm not well versed enough in the turkey woods to turn down a turkey in some woman's backyard that I have access to, which I'm not above that at all. So no judgment here. What, also major shout out to your girlfriend. That was very courteous of her.
Yeah. And major shout out to my buddy Hunter Sulak for taking me there and taking down a lot of hunts, because he really helped me.
Yeah. How, what made you decide that you, why'd you choose a bow this year?
Because I don't have a turkey choke for my shotgun.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
I didn't feel like buying one. I already had a bow. I've been practicing a lot. I was like, I think it'd be cool. I really wanted to get my first bow kill before big game. I didn't want to be staring an elk down and sitting there shaking in my boots with a bow full drawn. So I wanted a little bit of experience because, oh my gosh, even for just a turkey, I was shaking so much. I felt like, have you guys seen that video of, I think it was Luke Bryan in the tree stand, where he goes, "Is it down? Is it down?" That's exactly how I felt when I shot my bird. Like it was, my heart was racing and oh my gosh, it was amazing.
That's awesome. And that's everything right there. I mean, no one can take anything away from that scenario, that situation. Cause if you're that stoked, like when I take people hunting, like that's, I'm like, if you're excited about it, shoot it. Like, I don't give a shit if it's a spike or a forky. I don't care. If you're like stoked about it, go for it.
And I would have been just as excited with the Jake, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. That's really cool. And, how'd your buddy get permission on this lady's property?
So he knows her through one of his buddies, and he has a lot of public access because he's actually a bird science major kid. So he does a lot of hunting. He's going to be in Arizona banding ducks for a job. And so he's just like really respectful, and he kind of gave me a couple tips and tricks, and I ended up getting access on a couple pieces of private, and access to cross private to some landlocked public. It's a pretty big thing in Montana. There's a lot of landlocked public here. And so he just said that the biggest thing is like show up and be respectful, always give him gifts. Like he always gives a gift basket and he always like offers to help him out with stuff. So after we shot my turkey, we ended up going and putting up wire mesh netting around her chicken coop so that the birds don't get in there to eat all of her chicken feed.
That's like, that's private land 101 right there. I mean, and that's everything. You got to be respectful, and anything that you can do to make their lives easier, especially on farms, like there's always farm chores that need to be done. Anything like that is huge and it means the world to these folks. And also don't be afraid to go up and ask. Like, I mean, I hate it. It stresses me out. I don't like people telling me no anyways, but like, what do you got to lose, man? And it's opened up some properties for me here in North Georgia. Just by asking a couple cattle farmers, hey, you know, can I come help you stretch fence, or what do you need me to do? And then that leads to squirrel hunting talks, and then that leads to deer hunting leases and things like that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it was super cool, and I was glad because he really gave me that like kind of confidence boost, because I'd asked for private for some deer hunting and stuff last season, and I was like 11 for 11 on no's. Everybody was just saying no, especially around Bozeman area, because they just get asked so often. And so being able to do that and having two people say yes out of probably the 10 people that I asked was just phenomenal. I was super happy with that.
Yeah, that ratio is important. It's not going to be a high ratio.
No.
Or at least not in my experience. It's always going to be in the 20% or lower, maybe success getting access. That's great, man. And then what are you doing with your bird? What have you done so far with it? What are your plans?
So for mounting wise, I wanted to do both wings, but the one I shot was just trashed, so I couldn't do it. So I have the fan, and my buddy Hunter, he's mounting it. So I have the fan, one wing, the spurs and the beard. And then I have the broadhead that I shot it with, and I'm going to, I have some epoxy, some super clear epoxy that I'm going to probably mount that in. And then I'm also doing a pretty much Euro mount for the skull. I'm still trying to work out exactly how to do it. Cause I can't use a pressure washer on it. So I'm thinking about buying a water pick for it. But I've Euro mounted all my deer skulls so far and a couple of other skulls for friends. So I'm excited to try out a bird skull, cause I've never done that before.
Yeah, man. And I told you before this, definitely message Scotty Eisen, the skull keeper on Instagram. Big shout out to him, because his Euro mounts are a work of art. He is unbelievable with them.
Yeah, I'll definitely reach out to him before I start doing anything. That way I don't screw it up, because I'd really like to keep this one. Because unfortunately, the two birds that I shot in Washington, I did not get to keep their tail fans because I had to leave the next day. And I just haven't been able to get back in touch with those guys recently because they've been so busy.
Have you eaten any of it yet?
I have not. I am waiting to get a meat grinder, and I'm going to make chicken nuggets, but turkey nuggets. And then I have the legs and thighs, and I want to do a crock pot of those and kind of do some pretty much like pulled turkey sliders with barbecue sauce. So I'm looking forward to trying that because I don't feel like deboning them and working around all the tendons and everything. So if I can just crock pot them for 10 hours and then shred them, it'd be a lot easier to work through all that stuff.
Yeah, that's good. Turkey legs can get tough.
That's what I've heard.
Low and slow is the way to go, man. That's smart.
So yeah, that's what I've heard. So yeah, looking forward to it though. Definitely looking forward to it.
Heck yeah, man. Well, I'm stoked for you. When I saw that picture, I was like, God, that's so cool. And probably because it's a Merriam's too, which is just cool as shit from someone from the East Coast. So that's awesome, man. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. It means a lot.
Yeah, man. All right, let's kick it on over. Let's move eastward across the country to the Cheddar Curtain itself. Max, what do you got for us, man?
All right, so this is my first successful turkey hunting year, third year of going. I honestly don't remember if we saw a male turkey my first year. My brother and I just out kind of bumbling our way through it. Then last year, my brother shot one. I shot right over one's head. So we had quite a bit of action, but just didn't seal the deal. And then this year, ended up hunting with my dad. Neither of us are pro turkey hunters by any means. He didn't turkey hunt till the last couple of years. Not like I said, neither did I. But it was cool to get to do with him. You know, I grew up learning how to deer hunt from him, doing all kinds of bird hunting, duck hunting, pheasant hunting. But we just never got into turkey hunting for whatever reason. So it's been cool to kind of learn and experience that together with him. So first day of the season was Wednesday. I had the opening day off from work, surprisingly. Hunted our butts off that opening day. Heard a ton of gobbles. We have a little 40 up here in central Wisconsin. It's a little bit of ag, a little bit of woods. So it's a good spot for turkeys, but they got to be there, obviously, and it's only 40.
Max, can you kind of lay out, I know you did it on the tips episode, but can you lay out for listeners how the Wisconsin turkey season is kind of set up? Because it's a little different than I and Gabe are familiar with.
Yeah, it's kind of weird from what other places do. I don't remember if it's five or six. I think it's pretty sure it's 6 weeks. But basically, you draw 1 week from that period. And, you know, the first weeks are more coveted. So I got opening week. It was April 20th was opening day. And then, your draw odds go up the later the season gets. But then after that initial draw, whatever tags are left over, you can just buy over the counter. So you can buy one a day till they sell out. So I was able to buy one for the third season as well. I could have bought more if I had more free time to hunt, but it's just what worked out for me. So hunted that opening day, hunted a lot. We hunted our land in the morning, took a little break, and then tried some public in the afternoon. The next morning, hunted our place again. It was a little slower. And then finally on Friday, it was tons of gobbles again. It's mostly hardwoods, a little bit of pines. And then, like I said, some ag and some marsh. Go ahead, man.
I'm so jealous that you get to hear gobbles. That's pretty much a foreign concept to me up here hunting Merriam's. Those birds are stinking quiet, and especially around the Bozeman area because there's so much pressure. They're just always, always so quiet.
There is like nothing crazier than being in the woods and just having them exploding all around you. Like sun's coming up, it's super early in the morning, and there's just turkeys everywhere. It's awesome. And then you don't see them, but whatever.
So jealous. So jealous.
Yeah. Dude, I love the gobbles.
Yeah, man, being in the woods, man, nothing gets my heart going more than a nice morning gobble. We get it sometimes where, like, it's hit or miss. Like, you know, it's probably the same everywhere. But early season, they're going crazy, hemming and hawing. And then late season, like, usually nothing. You'll hear them twist off the roost in the morning. That's usually it.
Yeah, up here, it's when they gobble, it sounds like they're trying not to be heard. So it's, like, super quiet and, like, almost timid. It's so frustrating.
I think the only thing that gets me more pumped than that is like watching antlers come through the woods, but gobbles definitely a close second. So Friday had tons of gobbles, like high hopes for the day, you know, hunting out of a ground blind, and the morning starts to wear on. It's like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and start just kind of daydreaming, looking at my phone, and I'm scrolling through Instagram, probably liking hunt, lift, eat photos. And I look up and there's like, I think it was 9 Jakes just hanging out in my decoys. They must have just showed up because I hadn't been looking at my phone for that long. So I kind of tapped my dad and point to him and picked the biggest one and shot him. It was like 9 yards. So it was like shooting with a golf ball. Like the hole in his head was huge. It's just a thrill, man, watching that turkey start doing whatever they do after you shoot them. And I'm stoked that I got to do it with my dad. It was really cool to share that experience. I love hunting by myself, but some things are just better when you can share them. So that was my first successful turkey hunt and kill. And then I hunted my butt off again that third week. Had a close encounter. I wasn't able to get him to commit, but
dude, that picture you sent me, I mean, you made a perfect shot on that turkey.
Yeah.
But that picture was insane. I mean, you're supposed to shoot the turkey in the head, right? You don't want to jack up any of the meat, and pulling BBs out of the breast is a pain. So you're supposed to shoot it in the head, right? Especially when they like go up and periscope like that. And you drilled him. Like, I had not seen a wound like that on a turkey before. Yeah, that was picture's unbelievable. Not safe
for work.
Yeah, no, that'll get you banned.
Max, if you can, you should send me that photo. I'd be interested to see that, and I'll send you the entry wound from my arrow. That thing was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, I got you for sure. Like I said, I had a close call late season. My brother, his season ended on the Tuesday before, and he had been hunting this one time, started hanging around our place. Couldn't get him to commit, and then I put him to bed the night before. I think it was my last day of hunting. I put him to bed, knew where he was going to come down, set up for him, and he gobbled the whole way in. He was like 75 yards out into this alfalfa field. And every time I'd call, he'd gobble right back, and he just kept on walking. So he was interested, but not interested enough. And it, you know, turns into a lesson learned.
Were you guys, you may have mentioned this, were you and your dad running decoys, Max?
Yeah, we had a hen and a half strut jig or quarter strut jig.
Okay. And when they came in, were they what were they interested in?
Some of them were kind of doing their own thing. But a couple of them looked like they were checking the hen out. I don't think they knew what to think, because we had been pretty quiet for a while. So it wasn't, I'm not sure that we actually called them in or they wandered in, but either way.
But they weren't coming in looking for a fight, and they...
No, they were all calm. They were either...
Yeah.
Some were just pecking around. They were kind of just minding their own business.
That's great, man. That's awesome. And then what kind of, as far as calling goes, like what was y'all's game plan there?
So like I said, not being super experienced, I had a box call. My dad had a box call. And then I had that gobbler tube that we tried one time and wasn't the jam. But we would, you know, early on, we'd call a little more. And if we could get them to answer, we'd call again, kind of playing the back and forth game. And then once it quieted down, I would just hammer a couple times on the box call, like every half an hour or so, and just see what happened.
That's awesome, man. What'd you do? What have you done with the bird since then?
I've got the fan mounted. It had like this little dinky beard that I was going to put on the board. And then my dog chewed it up, so it was even more pathetic. So I just have the fan on one of those boards on the wall. Otherwise, got it all, you know, breasted, legs, whole 9 yards.
Nice. Have you eaten it at all?
Not yet. Looking forward to it though. I made slow cooked enchiladas with my brother's turkey legs from last year, and those turned out great.
Oh yeah, that sounds good.
If you can, please send me that recipe, because I honestly have no idea what to do with a wild turkey.
Yeah, I got you for that too.
Tell you
I
what,
I can't take much credit for you. I just Googled it, but
we'll type it up. We'll put a Wisconsin spin on it. We'll put it on the HLE website for anybody who wants it.
Just tons of cheese is the Wisconsin spin.
I was going to say lots of cheese, right?
I'd eat it with a beer.
Like Carter said, low and slow, man. Just smoke them. Yep. Can't be anything on the smoker.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hit the breast in the smoker.
That's awesome, man. I'm stoked for you. That's freaking awesome. I remember, you know, my first turkey, and I've had some that were, I guess at this point, it's maybe a little less than legal, one out of a truck window. And, you know, I've had a couple questionable ones back in the day. But your first legit one is that's a hard to beat, man. And I'm stoked you got to do it with your dad. That's awesome.
Yeah. I appreciate it. And my dad and my brother both shot beautiful, you know, mature toms off our land this year too. So overall, we had a great season. I have no complaints.
Yeah, it's hard to beat doing that with your family. That's awesome. I love it. So let's keep moving east. Frank, You should have a hell of a story, right?
Yeah, at least, I mean, I think it's a pretty good story.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully you all will as well. So I'm gonna preface here if you guys are ready for me.
Yeah, dude, come on. Let's hear it.
So first off, I had all these turkey road trip plans for so down here on the island, we don't have a spring season. Why? I don't know. I literally step all over these damn things. So yeah.
For listeners, what's the island, Frank?
I'm sorry. So Long Island, New York. So also known as Downstate, the city, although it's not the city. I'm way south of the city. I have farms and whatnot out by me. But for my upstate friends and family, it was known as the city until one of them finally came down. I was like, no, man, he just has a beach. This farm's there, but this beach is everywhere. So that is Long Island. A lot of people, but there is a lot of good hunting opportunities if you know where to look and if you ask the right people and get affiliated with the right groups. So to preface, I had all these plans. I was going to hunt down in Tennessee at a buddy's new farm. I was going to hunt in Pennsylvania. I was going to hunt like 2 hours upstate from me, so up in the Catskills, all of which had fallen through. Life happens, kids, dogs, I work nights and whatnot. So the Tennessee trip, my buddy called me up. He's like, hey man, I'm going to be there. So I'm like, cool. I'll try to find a flight. And flights were like $1,000. And I was like, I can't do that for a turkey. I just can't do it. So then Pennsylvania, a buddy of mine, his father lives down there on like 40 acres. We had plans on hunting his property. His dad gave us the, go ahead. And then life happened with him. Him and his wife got COVID and that didn't happen. So that got ruined. Then I have a buddy of mine who's got some property up in the Catskills. And I was just not able to make it up there because in New York, we can only hunt till noon. It's not like, your guys' free states down in Georgia where you guys can hunt it until midnight.
That's wild. I can't wrap my head around that. Hunting only until noon. You have to stop at noon.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it kind of complicates things.
Yeah.
I was going to say that sounds awful because I shot mine in the evening. I shot mine I did a lot more evening sits than I did morning sits this season.
Yep. Yeah. So it definitely makes things a bit, complicated, especially when, you're going out scouting and they're all over the place, which sometimes happens. But, So all of those plans, fell through. So I had come to terms with them, probably was not going to turkey hunt this year. So I have family way upstate, up just below the Adirondacks, like up around Saratoga. So I go up there as much as I can, but, with work and life, it just wasn't happening. But we do go up there every weekend for the holiday weekend, Memorial Day. So I was going up with my wife, my two kids, my two dogs, and pulling a camper. So I packed up all my shit in the camper, like in case I was going to be able to sneak away, with every intention of that just not happening, because my wife is still not the happiest about having two kids and two dogs in a camper. I get it. It's stressful. So we make the trek up. All's good. We leave super early, right on time, which I never do. You can ask her that, but I was trying damn hard to make it on time. So we get up there with plenty of time to spare. Everything is situated. Everything is going great. Park the camper, hook it up. All's hunky-dory. So my buddy's father says, hey, man, you guys all settled. I want to go scouting for some turkeys. And I just looked over at my wife, and she was like, just go. Just like, please go. So, all right, cool. Mind you, on Saturday, go ahead. She said,
much like Gabe's girlfriend, also sounds like a phenomenal team player there, Frank.
Oh, yeah, listen, she puts up with a lot of my shit. like I said, I had every intention of not working out just because I didn't want to put too much burden on her with the kids and dogs. But she is a good sport about it. So we go out to scout, and my buddy's dad's like, hey, man, listen, it's supposed to pour tomorrow. I don't even know if it's even worth it, but let's just take a ride. I was like, hey, you know what? Fuck it. I'm here. Let's go and take a ride. So first spot we check out, there's two big toms just puffed up strutting around. No sounds, though. No gobbles, but and he looks at me. He goes, you know, those are pretty killable. Maybe we can try and double up. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's fine. Like, it's your world. Like, I'm just here for a while. So, next spot.
Did y'all have your gear, or are you just out scouting? Like, did you bring a gun?
No. So, it was like maybe an hour before sunset. So,
okay. So, you can't. Okay. Nope. So, you literally are just scouting.
Literally just scouting.
Gotcha.
Drive around the spots.
I would be so infuriated if it was turkey season, still light out, and I couldn't shoot a turkey on shootable land. I'd be so chapped.
And to make matters worse, it was the last weekend. So it was like the 28th, and I was leaving on Monday. And I knew if I was hunting, it was going to be one time, one morning for like a quick, like, you know, a couple hours, be home before the kids wake up. So we go out, you know, second spot, nothing. Third spot, nothing. He's like, hey, man, this, you know, this ain't looking good. I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, it's all right, whatever. At least we're, you know, trying. Now, third spot, we go there, and there was like 25 fucking turkeys. And he goes, you know, he's like, that's where me and Tyler, so that's my buddy, his son, that's where me and Tyler, you know, doubled up last year, and we have access. And our spot is right at the point of the pines, right just over that hill. So he's like, no, he's like, we might have to do this. I'm like, yeah, sure, you know, whatever. So we go back home, have dinner, you know, talk it over with the wives, kind of, you know, put it out there. And he looks at me, he goes, listen, he goes, it's supposed to pour. He's like, I'm getting up at 3:30 a.m. He's like, if you want to hunt, he's like, you know, be awake and be ready. My wife looks at me, she goes, you know, you're sleeping in the barn, right? I'm like, yes, ma'am. So, you know, we put the kids down to bed, and literally I had just thrown all my shit in like random spots because, you know, like I was in a rush and I kind of wanted her to not to see it all. So it was, I had like half my stuff in the camper. I had like decoys in like the closet, under the bed, but they were just everywhere. So like a fire sale, I'm like running around, grabbing all my shit, grabbing the pillow, and I'm out now in the barn. I'm like, all right, cool. So I have all my stuff. 3:30 comes, and I was like, I'm just going to sleep in my gear so I can wake up and just like roll out of bed. So 3:30 comes, I get up. He, you know, he gets up. He's like, you ready? I'm like, yeah, look, you know, let's do it. So we go driving out there, and it was already hot as balls. it was so stinking hot. We got to the spot. It was only like a 8-minute drive maybe. And we're walking into the field. And when I tell you, it was like, you know, picturesque. I felt like I was in like an Outdoor Channel show. It was incredible. So
at this time, is the sun like coming up? It's just,
oh
like,
no, it's still pretty dark. Like maybe, yeah, it's like just cracking it.
Okay.
Cracking. I was up at like 3:30. We were out the door at like 3:45.
Okay.
So it was still, you know, pretty dark.
Oh, so, I like that. I like hunting with dudes who get fast quick, because that's how I am too. Guys who dilly-dally fucking pisses me off.
I'm not about that, especially if I'm getting up at like 3:30. Like, I can't waste time, because if I miss it, I'm going to get up. Yeah, it's just like,
no, whatever. It's like, oh, I got to have my cup of coffee and I don't have time for that. Get out of here.
Nope. I get up, try to empty out real quick so it's not a problem later. And then that's it, you know, good to go.
Yeah, 100%. So,
we get out there, and like I said, it was an awesome walk-in. I mean, but already the mosquitoes are like hitting us, and I'm like, oh god, here we go. So we get into our spot, and I mean, the spot's perfect. We're sitting, you know, by a tree with all the, and now the spot had like two shooting lanes. It's all overgrown, and he looks at me. He's like, oh man, he's like, this wasn't like this a few weeks ago. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's cool. So we just sit there and listen. Now, you know, sun's coming up, and it starts raining. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So I'm like, ah, you know what? Whatever. Like, I'm in, you know, in a canopy, and you know, if it starts pouring, like, they're gonna sit up on the roost. It just is what it is. So now it drizzles for like 20 minutes and just stops. And like, now I'm like, oh, all right, cool. So now he's like, oh man, like, we should have heard birds already. So And literally, he said that. I heard like two putts and like a light crashing. I'm like, they're behind us. He's like, what? And I'm like, it might have seen me, because I'm like up against a tree with like my head sticking out, because I'm trying to like stay clear of the field. And he's like, oh, really? So, and usually we don't call like, you know, late season, especially because where I'm at, like dudes have just been hammering them every day. So we threw out one Jake decoy though early in the morning, and he pops out a slate, and I have my slate, and he's like, I'm just going to do like some light putts. He's like, blah, 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 whatever, putt, putt, nothing. So he's like, oh man. And we're sitting there, and now sun's coming up, mosquitoes are getting worse, and like, he's like, what do you think? I'm like, I'm good, man. I'm like, I'll stay here till noon. Like, if I got green light to hunt, let's just hunt. So now, it felt like a half an hour. It's probably, in reality, like 6 minutes later. We see a single hen come like over the hill in the exact spot she was at that evening prior. So he's like, yo, you see that? And I'm in like a bush cover. I have like a tiny hole that I'm looking through. So I'm like, yeah, I see her. And all of a sudden, she just starts hemming and hawing. I'm like, what the hell? And usually they're pretty quiet. I guess she saw our Jake decoy. It was probably like 80 yards away. And she was like, get back over here. So she starts screaming. And now he looks at me and he's like, I guess we'll just mimic her. And we start mimicking, and she gets louder. We do it again. Louder. We do it again. Louder. And all of a sudden, she's just beelining it right to us. And he's like,
oh, dude, that's the best. That's one of the best interactions, too. Like, when a hen starts cutting you off, that's when you know you're in the mix. You're in the game, because, like, she's coming. Yeah. And then,
angry.
Yeah. And when she comes, you now have a live decoy. Yeah, you're in the mix.
Yep. So now he's like, all right, like, we got to move. So, because it's all like, you know, overgrown. So we're like low crawling, and it's still very, very high. And we're like, all right, well, we'll just sit at like the opening. I have a bush literally in front of my face with like a hole I'm looking through, and then I have a channel to my right. And our decoy is like right there, probably at like 25, 30 yards. So mind you, so I have had a love hate with turkeys. All right. As many of us probably have, I've shot at many. I've busted more than I even want to talk about, both in tree stands and on the ground. I have low crawled within almost grabbing distance and had a hen bust me. So now I'm like, I will sit still getting eaten alive if I have to until tomorrow. I'm not moving. So this hen literally comes in on a string. And she's literally like, and obviously she stops and she's screaming at us, and we're just shutting up now. So I'm like, all right, now I can't call anymore. Now she breaks the bush line where I'm at, and she's literally 15 yards from me, and she's just looking around, and I can swear she's looking right at me. I just close my eyes. I'm like, she can see my eyes. I'm not even going to look at her. So, and then she just starts cutting again. She starts yelping and yelping. And I'm like, holy shit. So he's like, shut up. Don't move. I'm like, all right. And now the mosquitoes are so bad. Like, I can't even see straight. Like, and because I like fire sailed myself last night in the barn, I realized I have no thermosail and I have no gloves. So my eyeballs, because I had just my eyes open and my hands getting torn up.
I've heard a lot of people using thermosail.
And oh, dude.
Mosquitoes aren't really an issue here. I've gotten bit by mosquitoes twice since I moved to Montana. So can you tell me what that is? Because I've heard a lot about them.
It is a game changer. I mean, I'm sure.
God.
Oh, my God. So, like, you know, up where, like, I hunt, there's a lot of farms, a lot of, like, you know, silage pits, like, swamps and, like, standing water. So the mosquitoes are so bad. Carter, I'm sure down by you it's kind of similar, right? A lot of marshland and, like.
It's just humid, and the mosquitoes are terrible. So, like, early archery season for deer, if you don't have a thermosail with you, it's just like a bad time. It's a bummer. And same thing with turkeys in the spring, man. It's just a bummer.
Such like a stupid little invention, and I did not believe it that it worked until I needed it, and it saved my ass. So mind you, I did not have that this time, so I'm just getting beat up like real bad.
Yeah, it's a small little container that takes like canisters of butane, Gabe, and you can, like that size. And you can slide it in a pocket or just lay it next to you when you hunt, and it throws out like a like a shield, like you're in damn Star Wars or something, an invisible shield.
That was sick. I freaking hate mosquitoes with a burning passion.
Yeah.
So if I ever come down to hunt pretty much anywhere besides Montana, I'm going to have to get myself one of those then.
Yeah, Thermacell's worth every dollar. And if you're listening right now, Thermacell, hit us up.
I'm going to start carrying two because I fucked myself. That's why. That's how bad that mosquitoes are, how awesome that those things are.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So, not to drag it out too long, but listen, this was like such like a like memorable hunt for me. So I'm trying to paint the picture for all you guys. So she comes in, she's hanging out, and like now, because we're not talking back, so she's getting kind of spooky. She's looking around, and then she's just kind of like, she leaves. She's starting to leave for a minute, and then she comes back. Then all of a sudden, there's a second hen coming, and my buddy's dad's like, there's another one. Don't move. He's whispering, don't move. I'm like, all right. So now, all of a sudden, finally, over the hill, you see that had to be like a band of like 15 jakes just all kind of like following behind her. Like, wait, where are you going? And you can see she's genuinely mad at our decoy. Like one of her jakes ran away. She's mad at it. So, and then all of a sudden we hear a gobble, and there's this big Tom comes over the top now. And he's like, you know, trailing up the rear, and he's like, there's a big Tom. And then, you know, at this point I'm like, yeah, like whatever. Cool. Like I'm just happy that this turkey's in front of me and that the hen didn't bust me yet. So all of a sudden now a Jake breaks off, and he's coming in hot, and like then I can kind of see him through my little hole I got going on, and then I lose him. So I'm like, he's probably walking the tree line, and he's gonna literally be like right in front of me, and I'm gonna have to grab him or do something stupid. So now the whole flock is like starting to come. We have two hens at like one at like 25 yards, one at 15 yards, literally like looking at us. And I'm sitting there with my gun up, looking through a little hole, getting absolutely annihilated by these mosquitoes to the point where like it hurts so bad. But I was like, I'm not busting these turkey. I want this bird. I'll do whatever I need. So he's like, you see him? I'm like, no, I'm looking through a hole. Like I don't see shit. So finally, like I see him cross my like, you know, little hole. And like I see him kind of like he postures up. I see him like posture his neck up, and I just kind of like sidestep the thing, and I shoot him at like 10 yards right in the head. And this guy just goes down, and like, and then all I hear is boom. My buddy's dad shoots, and I looked at him, and he's like, holy shit. So he's like, go get him. I run out, and I'm like, I felt like the dog from like Duck Hunter. Remember that game growing up? I was like, with the two turkeys after doing, you know, Carter's neck stomp.
I really like how you referenced the Duck Hunter game as when you guys were growing up. Really, really just makes me feel young amongst you guys.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to be 37 actually on Wednesday, next Wednesday.
Well, happy birthday. I turned 20 in July, so.
Yeah, Gabe's 12, so.
Wow, you are a baby. I'm jealous. That's why you can meet random dudes at like parties and it's not weird. Like
you're telling me that as a 37-year-old you can't meet random dudes at parties?
Actually, that's how I met my family friends, was at like a hunting group like 12 years ago, and they basically adopted me. So yeah, you're right actually. Yep.
That's so funny.
It's dumb. So I did Carter's patented neck stomp on my turkey, and as I'm doing it, I'm like, man, why am I doing this? Remember, Carter, you were like, you actually shouldn't do that if you're going to mount your turkey. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to eat this damn thing anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, the excitement's too high anyways, and you don't want it to get away.
So I come back with two of them. And like I said, I felt like the dog from Duck Hunter. And my buddy's dad turns to me and he's like, man, you jellied that turkey. So, like I said, this was for me, this was a very memorable hunt for me. I got to double up with my buddy's friend, basically my buddy's father. Sorry. He's pretty much been like a father figure to me for the past, 10 years. Super great teacher. And I'm very appreciative and, very thankful for him. And this was my first successful turkey hunt. I've shot at turkeys. I may or may not have hit a couple that ran away and I couldn't find them. And I may have busted a lot more than I want to talk about. So, yeah, that was it. It was a great time. So,
yeah, speaking of the patented neck stomp, that was like one of my biggest fears this season was if I did get a draw on a turkey and hit it in the breast, missed the vitals, didn't break the wing, like, one, I was scared that thing was going to fly with my arrow and I was going to have to go run and try to catch it. But I was like, I was so glad that it just stopped and died. Because I was
He was doing the flap, so I was like, all right, I don't want him to like hop away, because actually our property line was like literally like 10 yards away. And I was like, if he crosses the property and the guy comes out, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. No, mine did the flap twice and died pretty much. And I was like about to run after it, but then I didn't, because my girlfriend was like, did you hit the barn?
Yeah, speaking of the old neck stop, mine was doing freaking backflips for like 30 seconds. So naturally, I run out there and step on it right away. And then I see the hole that I made. I'm like, that was pointless. That was just a waste of energy.
Yeah, after you put a silver dollar through its freaking...
Yeah, oh my gosh, you punched that thing so hard.
Yeah, I wish we could post that picture in the show notes. Maybe we should. I don't know.
I think you should. I think we'll post it.
Things gnarly.
It's like story material, maybe.
Yeah, I love it, man. That's awesome.
That's my turkey story.
That's awesome, man.
I know it was a little bit long-winded, but I wanted to paint that picture for you all.
Heck yeah. No, I love it. And setting the scene is awesome. And I could listen to hunting stories all day, man. I get more fired up when other people talk about their success than my own. So I love it.
Yeah, I love hearing everything. It gets me just as amped as I was. But Frank, I do got to ask, how do you pronounce coffee?
Coffee.
I got a little bit of that. I was like, he's got an accent. I need to ask.
I definitely have one. I'm told from my upstate family that it's not as thick as it should be from down here. It's not.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've spent a lot of time upstate. I'd say pre-kids, I was up there. If I wasn't working, I was basically up there. So for a couple of years, I was like living up there and just kind of like going back and forth. But yep. Oh, and also what I loved probably the best was I got to bring home two turkeys to show my boys, and it was awesome. They were ecstatic.
They loved it.
How old are your boys?
So my older guy, Matthew, he's 5, and my little guy, Anthony, he's 2.
Awesome. That's awesome.
It's awesome. And like my older guy, all he wants to do is hunt fish. Like he shoots bow, he shoots 22s, he fishes. My like little guy, he's 2, and he's starting to kind of, get into it, but he's 2, so.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. That's outstanding. I love that all y'all got to do it with someone significant to you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
all of you, all awesome. Of you got to share your success with someone who's important to you, and that's really cool. I mean, that's one of the coolest parts about hunting.
Yeah, I was super super stoked on that, because when I shot my mule deer this past deer season, both my deer, actually, my mule deer and my whitetail, I was solo hunting, and it was super awesome. But it's definitely a lot more of an experience as a whole, and a lot more enjoyable to have somebody there with you, and especially like a significant person in your life there with you to enjoy that experience with.
Yep, absolutely. You know what? Like, it's cool to hunt alone, but like, how many times are you alone? You're like, yeah, and like, oh shit, and there's no one around, man.
Yeah, that's how I was here, and then I had to pack a thing out alone. It's awful. Yeah.
I will come carry meat for you whenever you want.
Okay, come out to Montana.
Fine, you shoot it, I'll carry it. As long as I get to eat it, that's fine.
I'll give you some.
What have you done with it, Frank? Have you eaten any of it yet?
Oh yeah. So we off the bat, I was like, I gotta breast these things out really quick because we're taking the kids up to Lake George right now. Did that. We smoked it. I think it was for like an hour and a half at like 225. We did some Texas toast with mashed potatoes and gravy on top of the sliced turkey, and it was incredible.
Yeah, sounds great.
And then, you know, I brought some home actually for some of the guys at work because, you know, I'm living where I live. Sometimes it's not uncommon to be the only person who hunts at like a job or a place. So they're always like, hey, man, did you kill anything? I'm like, yeah, I shot a turkey. Well, did you bring some this time? I went, actually, I did, asshole. There you go. So,
yeah, that's something I definitely take for granted up here. Like, I work with some hardcore hunters. There's always someone's bringing in like deer sausage or bear, or whatever. Or, you know, it's something we take for granted for sure. You know, being in a place where you are, I'm sure it's super rare.
Well, it's like, you know, like all hit or miss. You know, most of the people that I work with. So I work like an hour west of where I live. So it gets a lot more, you know, dense populated. So most of the people, that's where they're from. And they never been really exposed to it as much, or some have dabbled in it, but they're not really hunters, which is fine. But then, you know, but then where I live, I have some of my, you know, buddies where they're far more experienced than me. And then thankfully I have my family upstate where, like, this man should be on like a hunting show. He's like, when he speaks, like, you listen. Like,
I love that, man. Love hearing these stories. I love hearing the success. Gabe and Max, you got to keep us posted on what you decide to cook with your turkeys, guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. We've got a couple other ideas in mind. We'll see how they go.
Yeah.
So aside from the breasts already being done, being eaten, I'm actually mounting both fans myself. So for the first time, I'm doing a fan mount, and I kept the beard, even though it was a Jake, but they still had a pretty, you know, decent sized beards on them. They're actually downstairs drying still. And I try to keep as many feathers as I can on it. So it's been sitting in borax probably for like 2.5 weeks. So
nice. I love that. Yeah, their feathers are so beautiful.
Oh, they're awesome.
I kept a lot of the like smaller feathers on mine just to have that, just that dimension to the mount. I really liked it. And I was really bummed I couldn't keep both wings because I just love the feathers on it and how fluorescent they are and the chatoyance they have to them.
Yeah. Actually, in hindsight, now that all the excitement's over, I wish I kept both feet. So, because I know that there's actually a guy, I was talking to him on Instagram, and he actually makes knives out of the feet.
I've seen that guy. That's badass.
I don't know if I can shout him out, but
yeah, RP, dude, shout him out.
It's like RP Schitzfield or Richfield, something like that, right? He did something for like the NWTF, and I know that it was like raffled off, I think. He's a super nice guy. He does really great work. And then actually, I thought about you, Gabe, that I should have sent you a foot.
A turkey leg in the mail.
Yeah. Wait, what's his name? Because I want to look him up. I want to see how he does this. This is really interesting to me now.
I can always I'll put it in the show notes too.
I'll look it up too. So I feel like I probably didn't do him justice right now by like ripping up his name right now. So it's RPS Critchfield. RP Critchfield is what he has his name on. He's from Texas. So, And I believe that that's him. Let me see. Yep, that's him. So, and he does, you know, great work. And I spoke to him last season, actually. And I was like, hey, man. He's like, dude, he's like, just send me a foot and I'll do it for you. Of course.
Send me a foot.
So, and then I figured I was going to call you, Gabe. Like, hey, man, what can you do with this foot? It's in the mail.
I honestly don't know what I would have been able to do because I'm looking through his page right now trying to see how he does them. Oh, my gosh. Those are crazy cool looking. What?
See that feather one? So he has two of them. I mean, listen, I guess we should probably get him on here next. Sorry, buddy.
Shoot him a message. See if he wants to come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let him know. He probably will. He's a, you know, nice enough gentleman. Hey, Carter, so before I forget,
yeah,
I know that we had a birthday in the house recently.
Yeah.
So.
My kid?
Yeah, so, one or two. One, right?
Two.
Oh, two, that's right.
It's, yeah.
Birthday, little girl?
Thanks, man. Yeah, she turned two yesterday. Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Awesome. So awesome. Two. Get ready, brother. Get ready for two. I'm knee deep in it right now.
Yeah. I'll hit you up whenever I got emergency questions for you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I appreciate it, man.
You got it. Yeah.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys jumping on tonight, man. This has been awesome. I love hearing the stories, love the success, and you know, definitely follow through and let us know what you guys decide to cook and tag me because I love that shit.
I'll be sure to post it up, and if I find a good recipe, maybe get some good pictures too and send it to you so we can put on the website.
Heck yeah, man. That'd be awesome. I'd really love that.
Oh, it's mine up, actually.
Yeah, especially the one that you did, Max. If I do that one, I'll take some really nice pictures with my cameras and send them in.
Heck yeah.
I'll send it around for sure.
And if people wanted to see pictures of your turkeys, Gabe, where can people find you on Instagram?
So on Instagram, I'm Gabe.Robinson, and the last O in Robinson is a zero.
Last O is a zero. I love it.
Last O is a zero, and it's just Gabe.Robinson. It'll probably work if you type it normally.
Yeah, if you want to go see a beautiful Miriam's, that's the place to do it. Max, where can folks find you, man?
I'm at Maxwell_9194.
Heck yeah. And Frank, where can folks find you and your dogs?
You find me on Instagram. I'm birddogs_and_barbells. It's predominantly dogs and hunting and once in a while my kids. So as always, if you don't like that, you can scroll on.
I love it. I appreciate it, guys. And I'm not sure when this one's going to air, but if it airs before July 15th, that is going to be our next drop for HLE merchandise. That's our summer drop. And it is sick. I mean, the stuff that's coming out. Yeah. The stuff that's coming out is unreal. So definitely check it out.
The preview on the story.
Yeah, the looks preview great. On the stories, it's
yeah, sweet. Yeah, Caroline's story was crazy. I was drilling over those. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm stoked about it. So if it's not out, get hyped. If it's out already, go buy something. So, you know, listeners, once again, we appreciate the hell out of you guys, and we will talk to you next week.